All right, take your Bibles tonight, please. I want you to turn to three passages of Scripture. We're going to read just one verse out of each of the three, and you'll see what they have in common here in just a moment. But let's begin in the book of Philemon. Philemon in the New Testament. It's on page 285. If you have the same Bible I do. Philemon. Or as a little kid in Sunday school said, Philemon. All right, the book of Philemon, chapter 1, of course. All right, that made me nervous because four of you got that. All right, everybody got it? All right, we're going to read verse 24. Verse 24 says, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Now, I want you to notice there's a name here in verse 24, the name Demas. And Paul writes to Philemon and says that Demas was a fellow laborer. All right, now, go over to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Colossians, chapter 4. Philemon, or Colossians, chapter 4, verse 14. In this verse, Paul writes, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. All right, now look at me. Philemon was written early. It was one of the first books that was written by the Apostle Paul. So Philemon was written early in Paul's ministry. Colossians was written several years later, not a lot, but a few years later. In the first one, in Philemon, we are told that Demas was a fellow laborer of the Apostle Paul. When we get to Colossians, several years have passed, and Demas is still with Paul, but you will notice in verse 14 that there is no defining language that is used. It just says, Demas, salute you. All right, now he says, Luke, and he calls him the beloved physician, and Demas, salute thee, that or greet thee. That's it. All right, now go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you can leave your Bible open to this one. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll read verse 10. All right, now before we get there, look at me. Philemon, written first, written early, not first. 1 Thessalonians was first, but early in Paul's ministry. All right, a few years go by, and then he wrote the book of Colossians. And then a few more years go by, and Paul is in the Roman prison. This 2 Timothy is what we call one of the prison epistles. It was written when Paul was in prison. And it was his last book. If you'll look, if you'll keep reading in this chapter, you will see that, or if you read the first part, verse 7, he knows this is it. He knows that this is his swan song. He's about to die, and he knows it. And he says in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Thank God Paul kept the faith. All right, so this is written near the end. Now, look at verse 10. And here we find Demas mentioned again. In verse 10, it says, For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Man, that's sad, isn't it? All right, I want to speak to you tonight a message that I'm entitling The Tragedy of Demas. The Tragedy of Demas. I started to call it The Shipwreck of Demas, and probably could. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for the word, and I pray that you will bless tonight. And Lord, just help us as we look at this man, as we look at his life, as we think about and speculate on a few things. And Lord, I pray that you will just open our understanding to the things of God. And Lord, we certainly love you tonight. Help us not to be spoken of in the past tense when it comes to service. Lord, help us not to be a used to be, but Father, help us to be faithful to the end, just like Paul was. And Lord, I pray that you'll fill me with your spirit and help me tonight as I speak. I need your help. So Father, bless now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight on a man who is found mentioned three times in the New Testament. And sadly, his story is one of the heartbreaks and one of the tragedies of the New Testament. If you have been saved and in the church for any length of time, you're going to see folks who turn out to be just like Demas. It would be great if every person who gets saved would follow the Lord immediately in believer's baptism and join the fellowship of the church and then start reading their Bible every day and never missing a service and just start to grow like a healthy vine and start to tithe and find a part of the ministry where they could just lose themselves and then serve the Lord, winning souls until death takes them home to be with Christ. That would just be wonderful. Sad thing of it is, you don't see that very often. What you see are more folks like Demas, if you will just stop and think about it. Here in the first text, in the book of Philemon, Demas was called by Paul a fellow laborer. And then when Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, Demas was still with the Apostle Paul, and there's no indication that there was any real serious problem, although the accolades that were given to him in the earlier book are now missing in the second book, but wait a minute, he's still there, because Paul sent word to the church and saluted them on the behalf of Demas. But when you get to 2 Timothy and you get to the end of Paul's ministry, written just before Paul's death, Demas has forsaken the Lord and has forsaken Paul, turned his back on God, and has gone to Thessalonica. Now, what caused him to forsake God and to abandon Paul? Why did he drop out of the race? Well, Paul says that the reason he did it is because he loved this present world. Now, that has made a lot of people through the years wonder what it was about the world that he loved so dearly. And I want you to know the Bible does not tell us exactly what part of the world he was so enamored with that he would forsake God and forsake his friend and his companion for all those years. The Bible doesn't tell us. Was it money that lured his heart away? Well, we do not know. Now, of course, a lot of preachers through the centuries have preached that it was money. But there is no way to actually confirm that. Was it a lack of willpower and that enabled him or allowed him to eventually give in to a lustful heart? Well, we don't know. Did he fall in love and turn away from God and abandon Paul over a woman? Did he fall in love with some woman? And that situation is what lured him away. We do not know. Did he or did the bright lights of the city tempt him and draw away his heart? Well, the truth is, folks, we simply do not know exactly what part of the world so got a hold of Demas that it caused him to abandon Paul and turn his back on God. He is only mentioned three times in the scripture, and as you just heard, there is not a whole lot said about him in those three verses. I guess you could say Demas is sort of a mystery. His story is somewhat elusive. However, if you take these three references and you look at them in the order in which they were penned, and you look at specifically what is said and what is not said, you might get a little better understanding and a little more insight into some things about this man. Oh, we cannot see just exactly what part of the world lured him away. I'm afraid that will forever be hidden from our eyes until we get to heaven. But from the order, you can see something of a gradual decline in this man. And Paul saw it, recognized it, and I think put it in the Word of God for our edification. The book of Philemon was written first, and then the book of Colossians was written second. There were some years in between. And then finally, many years after the book of Philemon, we have the third reference, the third book, the last book, the book of 2 Timothy. So I think we can trace these three references and maybe use imagination, and we can get a little glimpse into the tragic story of Demas. And in his life, we can look at a story of a life that ended in a pitiful fashion. Now, notice with me just two things tonight. First of all, in Philemon, however, keep your Bible open here to 2 Timothy. You know what the others say. In Philemon, we see him described as a fellow laborer. Now, that's key. That's important. When Paul first mentions Demas, we see him as one of that company of eager servants to whom we all owe to the spreading of the gospel. I cannot imagine the bravery and the consecration and the dedication that these first century disciples must have had to preach the gospel with such boldness as they did. And right here in the middle of this brave bunch of soldiers for God, we find Demas standing strong. Paul said that he was a fellow laborer. Now, I want you to look at 2 Timothy 4:10, and I want you to notice something here that may be pretty important in understanding who Demas was. I want you to notice that Paul tells Timothy that Demas went to Thessalonica. When he abandoned Paul, he went to Thessalonica. And this has caused a multitude of speculation in that in all probability, can't say for sure, but in all probability, Demas was originally from Thessalonica. Now, I say that because Demas was a convert of Paul. And one of the first places that Paul went to build a church was the city of Thessalonica. The very first epistle that he wrote to the churches was at the church at Thessalonica. And so when he abandoned Paul, he went to Thessalonica, it would be in accordance with human nature for him to want to go back home. Right? Of course it would. And Paul said that he went to Thessalonica. So we can speculate. And that's all I'm doing is speculating. I cannot say dogmatically and for a fact that what I am suggesting to you is 100% accurate. But I am speculating that he might have gone back to Thessalonica because that was where he was from originally. And again, in all probability, that is the case. But the point is, he left and he went back to Thessalonica. Now, folks, listen, we see this kind of thing all the time. You probably don't see it as much as I see it. I see it, number one, because I'm looking for it. And I see it, secondly, because when I see the church, the open door, I see the whole. You don't see the whole as often as I do. And that's because I'm the pastor. You're not the pastor. I don't expect you to see the whole. But I see this kind of thing. We see this kind of thing all the time. Now, let's put Demas in the equation. He probably got saved, got excited, had a passion and a fire burning in his bones, and he was not satisfied with just confessing Christ as his Savior. He had to do more. And so he decided that he was going to be a fellow laborer with the apostle. But I want you to notice the three mentions of his name. And when you notice it, you can see a little decline in him over time. He starts out being mentioned in the first one in Philemon as Paul's fellow laborer. And then several years pass and he's mentioned a second time, but in the second mention in Colossians, he is mentioned only by name without anything describing his contribution to Paul's ministry. Oh, he's still a companion of Paul in that reference in Colossians, but the defining statement of Philemon is now left off. It really speaks rather loudly that he is still there, but it also speaks loudly that he is no longer a fellow laborer of the Apostle Paul. He seems maybe to have grown weary in his place of service, and he is not contributing like he once did. Now, I've seen this through the years. I have witnessed this. I have observed this. What do you think it was that caused his excitement to wane? What do you think there was that could have happened that might have discouraged him a little bit so that he is no longer this fellow laborer with Paul, but instead is just sort of fading out and fading away and wandering away? What was it that could have gotten to him? I don't know. I tell you one thing that I've noticed, one thing that I've seen that affects a lot of folks, and that is he may have gotten a little disappointed in the fruit he was seeing. You know, I've seen that impact a lot of people. I've seen an awful lot of folks, you know, they'll say, oh, well, I led this guy to the Lord and I told him he needs to come and walk down the aisle and get baptized and join the church, and he didn't do it. What's the use? I tell you what's the use. You're keeping people out of hell. That's what's the use. Your job is to win them. It is God's job then to keep them. Don't look at God did not call us to be fruit inspectors. Now get that through your head. God did not call us to be fruit inspectors. He called us to win folks to Christ. We win them, God takes care of them. You go fishing, and then God will clean the fish. You don't have to worry about that. All right? I've seen this so many times. You know, Demas could have had an idealistic view and thought that once he started preaching, folks everywhere would simply believe his message and they would all love him, and the message he preached would surely change the world. And when it didn't happen, then he got all fouled up. That could have happened. I've seen that happen. He probably dreamed of standing at the Colosseum in Rome and getting on a soapbox and gathering a crowd around him and having a great message and giving an invitation and seeing great results. But at last, here he was in Rome with Paul, and yet instead of being loved and accepted by the city, Paul is rejected and arrested, and maybe that's what dissuaded him. I don't know. But boy, I know it's awful easy to get out of sorts when things don't go like you think they ought to go. I've told you folks this, and I it was just naive on my part. And folks, I'm dead serious when I tell you this is what I believed. When I graduated from college and went out to pastor, I thought that everybody was going to love me. I was so dumb and so naive. I thought everybody was going to love me. I was so shocked. I mean, it just floored me. I started getting these nasty letters in the mail, people calling me everything in the book. I started having people confront me at the door, and I'm telling you, it surprised me. It really did. I thought, well, now, wait a minute. I didn't sign on for this. I remember the first business meeting that I had a church split in. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. And I knew something was up when I walked in. This side over here didn't talk to this side, and this side didn't talk to that side, and they all sat and shot daggers at one another. And boy, sure enough, they had chosen sides, and I didn't even know it. And there I was in the middle, standing there unsuspecting as I could be. Oh, we had an old-fashioned Donnybrook of a brawl that night. It was a hoot. Boy, you should have been there. And it just split the church right down the middle. Oh, it was disastrous. Well, you know, I can understand how somebody might feel that, you know, everybody ought to love me and then be shocked when they don't. But wait a minute, you don't quit. You don't quit. I mean, you just don't quit. But I want you to notice, at least so far, he has not swerved in his personal loyalty to Paul. I mean, he has been with Paul for years. He loved Paul. I dare say he would rather listen to Paul preach than anybody in the world. But now that the years have passed, he finds that he no longer loves Paul's preaching like he once did. It's getting difficult to go out into the streets of Rome and face the ridicule and put up with all the slurs and get cursed at like he did, and objects thrown at him. I mean, you know, that might have been what dissuaded him. I don't know. And I figure, had you told Demas any time before 2 Timothy 4, had you told Demas that the day was coming when he would desert Paul and when he would abandon him and run home, he would have indignantly rebuked you for speaking such words. And yet, anyone who knows anything at all about the human heart and human nature knows that Demas was on the highway to apostasy from the very hour that he ceased to be a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. You know, folks, I've been at this long enough. I can sit up here and I can look around. I can go to visitation on Thursday night. I can talk to Pastor Campbell in a staff meeting and find out who's quit what Sunday school class. I can talk to Pastor Brian and I can find out who's dropped out of the choir. I don't even have to talk to him. I can see it with my own eyes. And you mark it down. You're on the road to apostasy when you stop serving. It's just a matter of time. There's a second thing I want you to see. Now, you ought to be refreshed, encouraged right there, because I told you only got 2 points. But don't get real comfortable. Number two, listen to this. And this, I understand Paul's heart here. being a pastor. I understand the pastor's heart here. I really do. Second thing I want to point out to you, in the end, Paul had to tell the sad truth about his friend. That's sad right there. In the end, Paul had to tell the sad truth about his friend. I want you to look at it. Verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me." Oh, that's sad. I want you to notice that Paul had to tell the truth about his friend when it was all said and done. I have no doubt but what Paul was greatly grieved here to have to report this about the man who had been his friend and his fellow laborer in the gospel ministry. With a great ache in his heart, he has to write Timothy and tell him the sad news. You see, there were probably folks who no doubt loved Demas. I mean, he had been a blessing to a lot of people through the years. And probably there were folks that were led to Christ by Demas who were wondering what his reaction was to Paul's imprisonment and to Paul's approaching death. So Paul had to write, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica." Folks, you can almost hear a crack in Paul's voice. You can almost see the tear in his eyes as his pen writes this. But at least, think about this, it wasn't a sudden thing. It wasn't a sudden thing. I mean, at least Paul saw this coming. You see, you don't wander away from God. Listen to me now. You don't wander away from God in one giant step. You go away from God in one little step at a time. It is a gradual process. You ever hear anybody say, "Oh, pray for so-and-so, they fell into sin." Like there's this big sin hole out there somewhere, and every now and then some unguarded Christian just happens to walk on in, poop, falls right over into the big hole. Mm-mm. That's not how it works, folks. That's not how it works. There is not some big hole out there. People go into sin one step at a time. It was not in the least a sudden thing. He was like a ship that had been tied to a dock for a long, long time, and that rope was starting to grow frayed and worn. And Paul knew that it was only a matter of time before Demas's rope broke and the ship just went off on its own. He knew that day was coming. And I see this all the time happen around here. Somebody asked me, I was preaching in a conference back two months ago. I don't remember when it was. What is this, November? Is this November? All right, are we in 2011? What year are we in? It was September. And I was preaching in a conference. And we had a luncheon, and they had a bunch of preachers there, and a bunch of them were young preachers, and so they were going to ask us old guys some questions. And so one guy asked me. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I want to ask you a question." I said, "What's that?" He said, "What is the biggest heartbreak of your ministry? What grieves you the most about pastoring?" I didn't even have to think about it. And I said, "What grieves me are the Demases that we have in our churches." And folks, I'm telling you, you could pack this place times three with the Demases from the last 16 years. And that grieves my heart more than anything. That is the hardest thing that I have to deal with. I see it all the time. And you know, one thing I've noticed, can I just talk to you for a minute? One thing I've noticed that grieves my heart, which helps me to understand how Paul felt when he was writing this news to Timothy, is how so many parents, young parents, want the Church of the Open Door and Carroll Christian Schools and the children's program and programs and the youth group for their children. But then as soon as their children leave the nest, mom and dad are gone. Or mom is gone. Or dad is gone. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen that play out. It's unreal the number of times. I have noticed this. I could stand here, right now, and point to different sections of the building and give you family after family after family who, as soon as their kids graduated and left the nest, mom and dad forsake the church, having loved this present world. Are you saying that the church is good for the kids, but it's not good for you? Is that what you're saying? Oh, they don't want their kids brought up in the world. They don't want their kids influenced by the public school system. And they didn't want them running around with the devil's crowd. And so they said, you know, we got to raise our kids in church. And boy, here they came and they put their kids in and they marched them in to sing and they put them in the school and they went to all the games. And then as soon as the kids are gone, you look around and mom and dad are gone. Now, let me tell you something else I've noticed about this. It's not every time, not in every case. Thank God there's some kids that got it. But I've also noticed that a lot of these same kids, within just a couple of years, end up breaking mom and dad's heart. Because the truth is, folks, mom and dad's influence on them is far greater than the church's influence on them. And I want you to know, they see through your facade. You're not deceiving them. If it's not real in your heart, they know it. They know it. You can just be assured of that. And yet, mysteriously and unbelievably, when these kids then break mom and dad's heart, do you know who gets the blame for that? Unreal. Let me tell you something, parent. Your kids aren't dumb. You might fool me. You might fool folks sitting around you, but you're not going to fool them. I had a parent about 8-10 years ago. I don't remember how long ago. It's been a while now. But I had a parent, this happened in this with this family. It happened exactly as I described it for you. And this kid then went out and just made a disaster out of his life. And I heard that it was my fault. I heard that it was Church of the Open Door's fault. I heard that it was Curtis King's fault. I heard that it was, who knows, but it wasn't their fault. But it was everything and everybody connected to here. And one Sunday morning, I came down the steps and was walking down the hallway, and I got caught about right out there where the doors are that go out into the patio area. And this mother looked at me and said, I want you to know it's the church's fault my child turned out like this. It's the church's fault. I said, dear lady, listen, you cannot lay that at the church's doorstep. Yes, it's your fault. I said, are you kidding me? I said, look me square in the eye. I said, please understand this. Are you kidding me? I said, they are acting like you, not like us. They're not acting like what they have been taught out of this Bible. They're not acting like like us. They're not acting like the youth pastor and the Sunday school workers and the Sunday school teacher. They're not acting like us. They're acting like you. They have sat and watched your hypocrisy for 20 years now. And you're going to put it off on us? I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, I'm telling you, folks, Demas, I don't know what got him off. I don't know what it was that set him in that direction. I don't know what happened to him. But his story is a tragedy. And I'm saying, listen, be like Paul. Run the race and fight the fight and finish the course and keep the faith. Don't be like Demas and, having loved this present world, just say, well, that's it. I've done. I raised them. Now I'm out of here. No, dear friend, you will rue the day you do that. I want you to notice that Paul did not take the blame for Demas leaving. Look at verse 10. Paul didn't take the blame. He said, whoops, my bad. I even checked the Greek. It's not in the Greek either. Paul didn't take the blame for Demas leaving. He saw it coming. At one time, Demas was a fellow laborer, but as time went on, he was just there. I wonder how many are sitting here tonight, and you're just here. That's all you are. Man, we need to get busy, folks. Paul saw it coming. It was a slow process that built and built until Demas finally succumbed and yielded to the strain that it laid upon his heart. He stopped serving. And when he did, I guarantee he stopped reading his Bible. He stopped praying. He stopped winning souls. I guarantee it. Stop going to church on Sunday night. Amen, preacher. Thank you. Yeah, he quit coming out on visitation. He got a hold of Pastor Chris and said, you know, I just feel like I'm so busy. I'm going to have to give him a bus route up. He left Brian a voicemail. He said, I'm going to have to drop out of the choir. He left Pastor Campbell a note, sent him an email and said, I'm going to have to give up my Sunday school class. And over time, the old life just came swelling back over his soul. And off he ran to the place where for years his mind had been dwelling. And I will guarantee you that Demas was never satisfied with what he ran to. I'll guarantee it. And I think that this is what Paul was thinking as he wrote these words. You know, as sorry as he felt for himself that Demas was gone, he was without a doubt even more sorry for Demas, because he knew that Demas was never going to be happy not serving the Lord. He knew the world was never going to give Demas what he thought it was going to give him. Now, dear friend, let me ask you, what part of this world is luring your heart away tonight? Stay with it. I'm begging you to stay with it. Just stay with it. We don't know what finally got him. We don't know. We just don't know. Was it money? Was it some fleshly thing? Was it something he lived day by day lusting in his heart for? Who knows? But I do know that over time, he let up in his duty and his laboring alongside Paul stopped. Oh, he was still there, but he had quit serving. He was no longer a fellow laborer. And I think Paul knew that it was only a matter of time before the inevitable happened. And so while Paul was in prison and ready to be executed, with his final words being immortalized here in our text, Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He picked him up in Thessalonica at the beginning of his ministry, and he stayed for a long time. But sadly, at the end, he left. Folks, this has to be one of the saddest stories in the Bible. Has to be. And I think that it's here so that we will be challenged, and so we will learn that we need to stay with it. Folks, don't let anything distract you. Don't let anything lure your heart away. I mean, serve God for the right reasons. Remain faithful and labor for God until He calls you home. Just stay with it. Just stay with it. You know, we lost one of our good soul winners this week. Brother Joel Greer. Brother Joel Greer was a great soul winner. Somebody needs to step up and take Joel's place. Somebody needs to step up. He and I went out on visitation one night years ago. We went out together. And he was a master at sitting down with the Word of God. He was a master at going through that plan. I just sat there and marveled as I listened to him. And this guy we spoke to, he wanted to argue everything. And Joel would say, you know, that's an excellent question. Why don't we just take that question and we'll set it right over here. And then we'll get back to it in just a few minutes. Is that all right with you? And he'd start right back in. He wouldn't even give a guy time to answer. And he'd just start right back in. And pretty soon, there was a whole pile of stuff over here. But Joel just persevered and led that man to Christ. And you know, we never did go back and get all these things. Never did. Didn't have to. But Joel just stayed with it. Folks, that's what I'm encouraging you to do tonight. Just live for God. Just read your Bible. Just keep coming to church. Just keep serving the Lord. Just keep telling the story. Stay with it. Fight your fight. Run your race. And don't quit.